Steve has just read for us from Genesis chapter 13. He read to us the separation of Abraham and Lot. Abraham pitching his tents toward Canaan, and Lot pitching his tents toward Sodom. Lot chose what was good for his livestock. He chose a land that was physically rich and green, land that would be great for growth, for food for his livestock, and food for him and his family. One thing he failed to take note of, though, was the ungodliness of the area that he had chosen. For you see, the wickedness of Sodom was great. That was the last thing that was read to us this morning, that Sodom was indeed a wicked place. In fact, God has decided now that He is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their unwickedness. Abraham finds out about this, and so he begins to barter with God. Lord, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? Let me go into the cities and let me find 50 people. And we read where Abraham did just that, and he was unable to find 50 people. So he said, Lord, will you destroy all the righteous with the wicked if I find 45? And so God allowed him to search for 45, and he was unsuccessful. So Abraham continued to lower the number from 40 to 30 to 20 and to 10. But he was unable to find 10 righteous souls within these two vast cities. Sodom and his family lived in Sodom. But you know, as time went by, we find through the writings here that Sodom began to live in Lot's family. Today I want us to talk about that thought. What happens when we live in a place like Sodom and find out that Sodom is beginning to live in us? You see, when we allow our surroundings, the places that we live, the people that we associate with, when we begin to allow them to begin to mold and to shape our lives and allow us to conform to their way of living, things happen. And they're very similar to the things that happened to some of Lot's family. So this morning, let's take a look at what happens when Sodom begins to live in us. First thing, it causes a respect for parents to decline. It is evident that the sons-in-law of Lot did not hold him in high regard. In fact, we read in Genesis 19 and verse 14 that Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, "Get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. They did not take him serious. Now they knew that Lot was a godly man. And they knew that Lot followed the Lord in his life, even though he lived in a place like Sodom. But you see, Sodom had already started to live in the lives of his daughters and their husbands. And they refused to take the warning of the wiser, the older Lot. You know, this is something that is not uncommon. We have another example of this. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we find the sons of Eli did not follow his instruction and his teachings, and they turned against him and against God as well. If Lot's family had shown proper respect for Lot and listened to him as he explained to them what God was going to do, they would not have been consumed by the fire and brimstone that would fall upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And my friends, when Sodom, or rather the world today, lives in our hearts, we find ourselves turning a deaf ear to those who are older and wiser than we are. You know, it's sort of like teenagers. We talked about that this morning in our meeting. You know, the typical 17, 18-year-old person, they're so much smarter than their parents. At least they think they are. They reach that point in life that they know what's best for themselves, and they're not going to listen to mom and dad because mom and dad are old fogies. They're just out of it. They're in a different time, and they know what's best for themselves, and sometimes they wind up rebelling as a result of that. Here we find Lot's family rebelling against him. We're living in a time today when there's a lot of disrespect going on. Disrespect for parents. Disrespect for adults in general. Even though the Scripture is very clear about children's obedience toward their parents. Paul was very clear about it. Ephesians 6 verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, what does that tell you? That if you do not obey, if there is disobedience involved, this is not right. It's a two-sided coin. Either you're right or you're not right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. So now, children, I know our children aren't in here to hear this morning, but the children have two things going for them through their obedience. It is right. And it is pleasing to God. There was a poll taken among 504 high school principals in the state of Florida, matter of fact, in Orlando, Florida. And these principals said that 89% of them face things like profane language, provocative insults, and even threats from the student body that they work with. 89%. 89 kids out of 100. That's a mob, you know. And you know the sad thing about that? This survey was taken in 1997. 10 years ago. I can only imagine what those figures are now. My friends, God demands respect for the elderly. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 32, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your Lord, I am God. There is a story in 2 Kings chapter 2 that says there is something that's needful in obeying parents and listening to the elderly. It is a story about Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 23. It says that he went up from Bethel, and as he was going up on the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head! Go up, you bald head!" And Elisha turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse from God in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. You know, that just really makes me smile. Because here are some young people who are showing disrespect, first of all, to a prophet of God. Second of all, to an elderly man. And third of all, he's showing disrespect for God. Because God has said, children, I want you to be in subjection to those who are older than you. I want you to listen to those and attend to those who are older than you.
And you can bet these 42 kids wish they had. Here it is, mamas and daddies, and I know we have mamas and daddies in here. For your children, the parent's word is final. And I'm going to tell you, I lived in a day when that's the way it was. When my daddy barked, it was bigger than any Great Dane you've ever seen. And I listened. For children, the parent's word is final. Whether it's concerning friends or sports or dates or curfew or anything else for that matter. Parent's word is final. And when your kid comes up to you and gets in your face and says, well, I have my rights too. Yes, you have a right. You have one right, and that's to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that's it. That's the end of the discussion. Don't allow your teenager to come up to you and to dictate to you what you are going to do for them or what they are going to do in spite of you. Who's the adult here? There's a lot to be said for being respectful for those who are older. Another thing about Sodom, it caused a reluctance to flee evil. You know, from our text we read that the angels had to lead Lot and his family by the hand out of Sodom. Now you need to understand here, my friends, that they were leaving behind lewd homosexuality. They were leaving behind ruthless behavior. They were leaving behind total unrighteousness. You would think that Lot would have had the sense to get out of there a long time ago. Because look what they were living in. Would you want your children to be associated with things like this? And when the angel gave the command to depart, you would have think they would have jumped up and run. But there was something. There was something in the influence of Sodom that caused them to linger and not want to go. And today, it's the same way. Today, we are commanded to flee ungodliness, but we hesitate to do so. And there are several scriptures that bear this out. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, he tells us to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch that which is unclean, and I will receive you. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. And then 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust. Pursue righteousness, love, faith, peace with those who call on the Lord. Watch out for evil. Flee from evil. You know, evil takes many forms. And there are so many passages in the Scripture that bear this out. In the New Testament that tells us the evil things that we are to stay clear of. And we need to run from it. We don't need to coddle it. We don't need to embrace it. And we certainly don't need to play around with it. You know, we like to go places where other people go and do things that other people do just because we want to be popular with the crowd. Let me tell you, that doesn't end with the teenage years. Adults like to be popular too. Don't get it wrong. So we'll find ourselves going to these places that maybe we shouldn't be. We don't have any intention of being a part of it. But sometimes you are. And it's just like I have told teenagers since I've been doing this work. The best way out of a situation, don't put yourself in it. As simple as that. The drunkard will never taste his first drink. The smoker will never take his first cigarette. The drug addict will never take that first drug. Get away from it. Don't even give it a chance. And here we find some of Lot's family here in this awful, wicked place. And they said, well, now, wait a minute. Maybe it's not all that bad. It's not going to affect me. And oh, how many times have we seen that fail? Remember how Joseph dealt with his temptation? When Potiphar came to him and wanted him to commit adultery with her, he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He realized that this is sin. This is not just something that's socially incorrect, which at that time it was in that place. This is sin. This is against God. And God makes the rules. And who am I as a wise man to say I'm not going to obey the rules? Beware of the wickedness of this life. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to go very far outside of these doors to find it. It's here. It caused fear to reign in their hearts instead of faith. The angels told Lot and his family to escape to the mountains. And for some reason or the other, Lot says, no, I can't go to the mountains. I'm afraid to go to the mountains. Why, if I go to the mountains, some evil will overtake me and I will die. Let me go to Zoar. So he takes his family and he goes to Zoar. He gets to Zoar and he finds out he can't live in Zoar. So what does he do? He heads back to the mountains where the angels told him to go to begin with. Now, you know, at this point, I'm beginning to wonder about Lot. Here, the angels come to his house. They warn him about the destruction of these two cities. They take him by the hand and they lead him and his family away from this impending destruction that is going to take place. And now he's afraid to go where they tell him to go. You have to question that man, don't you? I mean, if you're going to follow God, follow God. Don't just listen to part of what he has to say. Listen to all of what he has to say. Don't just obey part of his commandments. Obey all of his commandments. But the point is that influences of the world will cause us to be afraid to do the right thing. Have you ever been afraid to do the right thing? Have you ever been in a crowd of people who were doing the wrong thing and you knew it was wrong and they're trying to get you to do it too? And now you're in a bind here because you know I don't need to do this. But everybody else wants me to. And oh, I would look so good to them if I did. And we're afraid to stand up for what is right. My friends, God has not given us a spirit of fear. How do you know that, Farron? Well, I know that because I'm told that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Those absolute words. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Did you catch that last part? A sound mind. A sound mind is not going to go away from God. A sound mind is not going to participate in the things that the world is participating in. They're going to be like Lot. They're going to get up and they're going to get out of there. That's what the sound mind will do. Paul did not allow his fear to make him ashamed of the gospel. He stood up before people who hated him, who hated God, and who hated Christianity, and he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. There was no fear there. And we're also told, Revelation 21, verse 8, that the fearful, those who live in fear, are going to reap fearful consequences. Read it with me. Revelation 21 and verse 8. It's a long list, but listen to the first one. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Long list. Number one is being afraid. Being afraid to do the right thing. Being afraid to say no when you need to say yes. Being afraid to say yes when you need to say no. You know, fear occurs many ways. Fear to talk to your neighbors about their Christianity, about their salvation. Fear to correct brethren when correction is needed. Fear to overcome ridicule when people look down upon you because of your Christianity. Fear to take an active part in the Lord's Word. Fear to stand for the truth of God's Word. Let us never take fear of our counsel, or take counsel of our fears. Never dwell upon what you're afraid of, but dwell upon your strengths. Dwell upon your capabilities. Dwell upon the part that you are God's child. And as Paul said, with God I can do everything. I can do anything. There is nothing that I cannot do. Sin causes fear. Then Sodom caused a yearning for the earthly. Genesis 19, verse 17, the command was, escape for your life. Do not look behind you. The influence of Sodom caused a yearning for Sodomite ways. It caused a yearning for sin. You know why the daughters and the sons-in-law didn't go with Lot? Is because they enjoyed what they were doing. They enjoyed the sin that they were a part of. It was a lifestyle that they wanted. It was something that they wanted to see continue. They did not want to give it up. And that's why Lot's wife turned around and looked back. Now, you know, it's a lot of speculatory reasons as to why she turned around. Perhaps she was just curious because she wanted to be sure that God was going to do what God said He was going to do. You know, some people actually believe that. Some people may believe that she actually doubted God's ability to destroy these two cities, and she wanted to be sure that He was doing it, and that's why she turned around. No, that's not why she turned around. Number one, she had family back there. Listen. She knew God was going to do what He said He was going to do. She had family back there. She had daughters that she had brought into the world back there. She had people that she loved back there, and she wanted to turn around and see their fate. But you know what I think the big reason is? I think she was just like her daughters and like her sons-in-law. She loved that lifestyle. She had left everything that she owned back there. She left things that she loved back there. She left things that surrounded her every day of her life back there. She left a way of life back there. And that's why she turned around. She wasn't given time to pack. She was looking back, and she paid for it. You know, God has said, don't look back in a lot of different ways. He told Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit. That's like saying, don't look back. God said to Uzzah, don't touch the Ark of the Covenant. That's the same as saying, don't look back. He tells us today, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's the same thing as saying, don't look back. Every command that God gives to us to go forward is the same thing as saying, don't look back. You're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven if you look back. You don't look back while you're plowing to see if your lines are straight. You keep going ahead. Don't look back. But oh, so many times we do. We like to think that we can disobey God and get away with it. Maybe that was it with Lot's wife. Maybe she didn't think God would turn her into that pillar of salt. But he did. Maybe you think God is not going to punish you for your disobedience. But he will. And then finally, Sodom caused immorality to take root in the people. The influence of Sodom was still very much in the hearts of Lot's daughters and in Lot himself, even after the city had been destroyed. No doubt they, along with their father, had seen and heard and knew all about the wickedness that was there in Sodom. And they knew all the things that had gone on. And there's probably no doubt that some of this has rubbed off on them. And you know, if we continue reading in this story, we're going to find, yeah, it did. Peter made reference to this account in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. It says, "He delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct out of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. It was pounded on him day in and day out." Even while when the angels came there, they knew Lot, and they came to Lot's house for the purpose of getting to the angels. It was something that Lot dealt with every day of his life, and you know it had an effect on him. His daughters were there. He even offered the daughters as an exchange to leave the angels alone. They knew it was there. The problems of Sodom was there. And it rubbed off on them. And it caused Lot to commit fornication with his daughters as a result of it. Sodom was still in them, even after the cities were destroyed. Sins today are the same as the sins in Bible times. And in similar fashion, we cannot feed our mind on the garbage of this world without being affected by the garbage of this world. And I don't care who you are. You can be affected by the garbage of this world. And I don't have to tell you, there is a mountain of garbage in this world that can affect you and me. Therefore, we need to stay as close to God, as close to His Word, and as close to each other as we possibly can. Because there is that world of garbage outside of these walls. You know, it wasn't a sin for Lot and his family to live in Sodom. Where the sin began is when Sodom began to live in them. Jesus told his disciples, "You have to be in the world, but don't be of the world. You can be here, but you don't have to be a part of them. You don't have to give in to their desires, their lusts, their wants, their evil doings. You can separate yourself from that. And you can be godly, even in an ungodly world." Paul tells us in Romans 12 and verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's the answer. Don't conform. Transform. So I'm asking you this morning as we close this lesson, are you still conformed to this world? If someone came up to you today and said, you need to get out of the wickedness of Albany, Georgia. Let me take you by the hand and let me lead you out of this mess. Are you going to be like Lot's daughters who stayed? Or are you going to be like Lot's daughters who went with Lot? Are you going to be like Lot's wife who turned around because she yearned for all of the wickedness of Albany? What are you going to do? Are you going to conform? Or are you going to transform? My friends, if you are not a Christian, you are conformed to this world. What I want to tell you, my friends, you can get out of this world. Not physically right now. I'm talking spiritually. You can let the world go. And you can come to Jesus Christ through the obedience to the gospel. And you can leave the world behind. And you can live for God and you can live a godly life. But it starts with Jesus Christ and your obedience to Him. And Christian friend, if you have gone back into the world, God can still free you. If you will repent of those sins, if you will come back to God, live for Him once again, He can redeem you again. But you have to leave the world. You can't conform. You must give your life to God. Remember Lot's wife. Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened to those who stayed. And don't allow that to be a part of your ending. Today, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing.